This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida.
And I'm Lorinda Van Newkirk from Weatherford, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Horsewear Ireland for March 22nd, episode 1388. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies Day every day.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick dust. Work real hard.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Today's show is sponsored by Horsewear Ireland and the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. Lorinda and I are here every fourth Tuesday of the month, bringing you the latest from Women in Rodeo. I hope you're ready for the ride. We have a fun show planned on today's show. Jennifer's going to tell us all about it.
On today's Women in Rodeo episode by Horsewear Ireland, first up, we are going to be joined by Horsewear Ireland CEO Tom McGinnis for a little get-to-know-you chat. And then after that, we're going to meet up with mounted shooter Kaylee for a chat about this awesome new all-American sport. And then next up, Buckaroo Cowgirl and amazing singer-songwriter Adrian Brandon stops by for a visit. And then rounding out the show, Alex Highland and Dana Jenkins from Miss Rodeo America are going to stop by and tell us all about the really cool MRA internship program. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. We have a very jam-packed show today that I'm quite excited about. And good morning to you, Lorinda. I'm so excited to have you with me again today.
Good morning.
What if I know you've had some exciting things going on this past month. I've seen the first thing I want to talk about is I saw the cutest picture of Charlie with her little belt buckle. So you have to tell us about that. Is that her first one?
That's her first barrel racing buckle. So she was pretty excited. It was at one of the Brat races here. We went over to in Glen Rose. She won first in the 4D and the youth, and then she won sixth in the 5D. So she won about $200 and a buckle. So yes, she's still grinning from ear to ear. It's pretty exciting.
And for listeners, this is Lorinda's cute little daughter. She has two. Tell us about your kiddos.
Yeah, Charlie is my oldest daughter, and yes, I gave her a boy name after both of my grandfathers, and it fits her perfectly with her red hair and freckles. And then my other daughter, Jaylee, is 11, and she's started to run our little pony. We call her Abby the Pretty Pony, and then when she's naughty, she's Abby the Naughty Pony. So we thought about maybe doing a YouTube channel for it because she can be adorable. She's a black and white paint pony, and we put all the gypsy tails in her and dress her all up. And Jaylee just giggles when she trots around on her, and we go to a barrel race, and everyone is just like, "Oh my gosh, look at this pony! She's so cute." Until she's Abby the Naughty Pony,
which I think every pony is naughty at some point.
Yes. No, but you know, both the girls, we're having a good time. And you know, like I've said before, it's, you know, win or lose, we're having a great time, but the buckle was sure icing on the cake this month.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I've seen some pictures on your social media of big mounds of dirt going on at your house.
Yes, we have we're finally putting in a pool. There's two things I've always wanted. And we're kind of doing it a little bit backwards, a barn, which I still don't have a barn with horses in it, and a pool. And so finally we are putting in the pool. You know, we're in Florida and there's beaches, but we live so far from the beaches that we just don't make it there very often. So to finally have a way to cool off in Florida is going to be wonderful. So yeah. And those dirt mounds have been like a toy to my little redhead, because we both have redheads. She has played in that dirt ever since they dug it up. She comes in every night covered from head to toe.
Well, I'm super jealous. My husband owns a landscape business and puts in, I don't know how many amazing, gorgeous pools a year. And there's not a pool in our backyard yet. So I'm super, super jealous. So one of these days. But
well, I'm jealous of your horses. So there.
Yeah, we could just trade back and forth.
Well, we did. We're getting a quote on a barn. Finally, I'm waiting for that to come in. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that comes out good.
Good. So, good. What else have you and the girls been up to?
Well, my daughter, Savannah, I would say this is the biggest news for us. We've had a pretty low-key month, but besides the pool, that's big. But my daughter, Savannah, she's 13, and she was inducted into the National Junior Honor Society. So that was a very proud mom and dad moment. It was very exciting, and I'm so very proud and happy for her because she's worked so hard for it. So.
Isn't it kind of scary the moment when you realize your children are going to be way smarter than you?
She has been way smarter for me than longer than I care to admit. So yes, she is. I think she was born like she amazes me. I haven't been able to help her with her math for a long time.
Yeah, Joel, my husband Joel is on the homework detail. I'm peace out on that. Yeah. I will do everything else. Please don't make me do homework because my kids will really know how not smart I am.
Well, and I hate that we're admitting this. My gosh, this is a show about women and we're saying how we handed the homework over to the men. Lovely.
No, that is congratulations. That's super, super exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. So before we go much further, I want to say real quick that later in the show, we're going to honor some people. We've sadly lost some women in the horse world this past month. A few of those are, and I'm sorry if I don't say these names correctly, but Lara DeWeese, Ruth Hayslip, and Olivia Inglis. And I think there's a man or two. So please stick around and join us later in the show. We'll play a special song to honor these horsewomen and horsemen we've lost over them last month. And if you want to light a candle, I have a candle lit right now while I'm on the show. And hey, Glenn, I don't know if you want to jump in, but we have Glenn with us this morning. He is here for a special announcement.
Hey guys, it's so good to be on your show and it's so nice to have the morning off. I have to tell you.
Don't get used to it. We've had one show.
Thank you, Lorinda, for doing this. You know, I always thought it was better for me not to be on the Women in Rodeo show, and you do a much better job of that, I've got to say. So I appreciate that. And so I got home last night from Road to the Horse, another very successful year at Road to the Horse, and there's some very exciting news for next year that you guys are going to want to hear, and that's they made the announcement that it will be all women competing next year for the first time at Road to the Horse.
Wow.
I think we need to go.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to come up and join us. It is a really, really neat event. And, you know, Chris Cox's wife is going to be one of the competitors next year. And then also Richard Winter's daughter, Sarah, who was on the show with us over the weekend and is super sweet. She's going to be competing. This will be her second time competing next year. And they have not announced the third. So we're not quite sure who the third person's going to be. I know there's a lot of fans out there that would like to see it be Mary Kitzmiller, but she definitely looked like she didn't know that this was happening. So I don't know that it's going to be Mary, but they always hold off one announcement for a little bit later. And they've had women, you know, Stacey Westfall won it one year. So there's been three or four women, but, you know, it's been going on for 13 years and they've only had three or four women over the years. And everybody's been clamoring to do an all women's Road to the Horse. And that's what it's going to be next year. So the excitement was pretty palatable in the arena when they made that announcement. I think a lot of people are going to be coming out to see that.
I'm certainly excited. Yay. And awesome.
And there are some amazing women trainers in the country, and they just haven't gotten they don't get the kind of notoriety and recognition that some of the Pirellis and, you know, the Clinton Andersons do. So I'm excited for that, too, because, as you know, I work with 20 women co-hosts, and I think they're pretty cool. So I think women are pretty cool.
Well, and it's great. It's great to see more events like that for, you know, for women. Just, you know, I just went to the American a few weeks ago here in Dallas, and, you know, we're only one sport, and it's, you know, as we get older, and it's great to see different organizations embracing women trainers and promoting them because it's their career and their livelihood, and they need to get the word out.
you know, I worked with Mary Kitz. She obviously does a show. Mary Kitz Miller does a show here once a month. She has competed as a wild card at Road to the Horse twice. And, you know, we worked with her over the weekend, and Jennifer can attest to this because she, you know, she was producing the show. We did 4 hours live. It's the first time we ever did a live play-by-play at Road to the Horse. And we were 4 hours live, and the entire 4 hours, she just stepped up. I mean, we were describing a very visual event. You know, it's like doing it's like doing play-by-play, and they do it all the time for baseball and football on the radio, right? You can listen to it, and you really have to paint a picture of what's going on, and you have to know what you're talking about. That was not me. That was Mary. Mary did an excellent job of explaining why the trainers were doing what they were doing, what they were doing with the horses, what they were trying to accomplish by doing it. And she just did an amazing job for 4 hours. Jennifer, you were listening to it. You're a trainer. And, you know, Jennifer kept making the comment, she is just doing a great job. I can just picture myself there. So
that's not easy to do. Kudos to her.
It is not easy to do. And we were nervous about it because we had never done it before. We had done play-by-play before for video feeds. You know, we did that for Live Oak last year, Wendy and I. And that's so much easier because the people are seeing what you're seeing when you're doing it. But not for audio on a very visual event. But yet we had probably one of the highest live listener bases we've ever had, and they all stuck with it for all 4 hours. We can watch how people are coming on and off the live feed, and they stuck with it, which means it worked, right? So Mary did a good job, and I have to give her credit. So go women.
Yeah,
girl power, like a girl.
Awesome.
We're also very excited because as the Horse Radio Network grows, we have had the opportunity to be working with many cool sponsors. We had some of those over the weekend. Horselovers.com was our title sponsor for the Road to the Horse coverage. And we have new sponsors coming on all the time. And Jennifer's getting our special guest set up right now, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. You know, one of the reasons that we can do what we do and keep this programming free across all of the different shows that we do, all 10 of them, is we have terrific sponsors. And one of the reasons that the sponsors, when they start with us, they stay with us, is because our listeners go out and actually purchase the products, right? They go out and buy the stuff. And we appreciate and thank the listeners very much for that. And we know that you're very supportive of our sponsors. They also know that we do not represent companies. And I know that I've had this conversation with Heather and Lorinda too. We don't represent companies that we don't believe in. If their products are not good or we think they just don't work for us, we're not going to recommend them to you. That's part of the commitment that we have to our listeners, is to make sure that the products that we're representing and we're endorsing and we're saying these are good products, that they really are good products. Otherwise, we won't have them on the air. So the listeners know over the past 8 years, 5,000 episodes now, I think we're getting really close to the 5,000 mark, that they know in all 5,000 of those episodes, we're not going to recommend stuff that doesn't work. So when we're going out looking for new sponsors and looking for sponsors that are quality, that's what we take in mind. You know, we keep that in mind when we're looking for sponsors, especially title sponsors for very important episodes like Women in Rodeo. Well, we found one of those, and they've come on board, and we're so excited to have them on board because we've used their blankets for years, and they're doing so much now, and their company has grown so fast, and we're very excited to announce that Horseware is now the title sponsor for two of our Western shows, for Women in Rodeo and the Mary Kitz Miller episode. And we're thrilled, and I didn't know about this till about a half an hour ago, to have CEO Tom McGinnis on with us from Horseware. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
Good morning.
Okay. What? Good morning. So who got here? Heather, Glenn, and Lorinda, is it?
Lorinda, yes. Yep, that's right.
Lorinda. Okay.
You got it. Now you're here in the United States, right? Today?
Yeah, I'm up here in North Carolina. We have our US headquarters, sales, marketing, distribution, and the small manufacturing unit here in Kinston, North Carolina. Which is roughly about an hour and a half outside of Raleigh.
Got it. Very good.
We've been here for 2000 we've been here.
Well, welcome to the U.S. on this trip. We appreciate that. Now, tell us, you know, horseware has been an amazing story, and I've been in the retail business for 25 years. So we've kind of seen horseware grow up, just as you've seen horseware grow up. And we all know horseware for blankets, right? It's been the thing that everybody's familiar with. But, boy, there's so much more to horseware now.
Well, yeah, we do a wide range of clothing. We do several therapy products like Ice Vibe, Sports Vibe, Ionics. We do the Mitchell Bridle, which is the world's number one selling bridle. So we've got a lot of different things. I mean, we're basically, I suppose, a kind of inventive kind of company. So we see an area where we can develop a product, or we can maybe partner with somebody. Like William Mitchell, he invented this Mitchell Bridle, but he really didn't have the resources to market it. And so when we see a product that really makes life easier for the horse and rider, which is our kind of motto, we go for it. It's not just a blanket thing.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I mean. That's what I meant by it. It's just been a phenomenal growth and such a good company. And the other thing that horseware is known for, obviously, is quality. If you bought one of their blankets, whether it's a Rambo or whatever you bought and have on your horse, you know it's going to last you. And I think that's why the brand has grown the way it has. Brands that don't put out quality don't grow, right?
Well, I think quality is kind of a given, right? It's, it's doing to others, you would have them do unto you. So we're not going to sell, I'm not going to sell you something I wouldn't use myself that doesn't work. And the other thing is that we are manufacturers. So there's very few companies left in the industry who actually make their own stuff. Most of them are just subcontracting the actual manufacturing to some other company in India or China or somewhere. So they don't really know what they're going to get till they open the container. And we do have factories in China. I have a clothing factory and a rug factory in China. I have one in Cambodia as well, but we own them. I also have a factory in our own production in Ireland, and I have a small production here in North Carolina. So we're first and foremost, we know about making things. We're in the front line. So if there's something wrong with a product, then a lot of times we put something out, maybe a new product, some little thing, but we hear about it right away and we fix it right away. So... and because we understand about making stuff, we understand about the fabrics, all about yarns, all about treatments. I mean, that's how we discovered the whole hydrophilic, the waterproof, breathable thing. Like, we were putting out waterproof, breathable blankets in 1991. The ski industry didn't start using hydrophilics until the late 90s. So, your horse blanket was a more technical product than your ski jacket. Back in the 90s. So, and we've done that with loads of other products. We've got the impregnated dry sheets with the permethrin. So that's a highly technical product. There's a lot of work to be done with the APA. There's a lot of permitting that you have to get. So we're not afraid to invest in new technologies and in new ways of doing things and new fabrics.
You're not afraid to have fun, because is the YouTube video that went viral of the horses in the factory, which was really a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it yet, Jennifer's going to post it again on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I think everybody's seen it. But that you have a great marketing department, by the way. That's very good.
Yeah, we have some great people. We have a fantastic crew. I mean, we employ about 650 people worldwide. About 150 of those are in Ireland. About 20 of them are in the marketing department, as far as I can see. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And we are, we've a lot of young females, and they're like so good on the internet. They're posting, they're tweeting, they're Instagramming. It's like, man, I can't keep up with this. it's crazy. We had this other video before that one. It was called Rugs for Life. And it was very emotive, very feeling. We weren't selling anything, and it was actually an Irish poem that we set to a background video. But it was a poem about a horse. Right? So we got about 250 views of that, but over a 2 or 3 year period. So we were last year was like our 30th year in business, and we were having a bit of a chat about it with a girl we were supporting who actually owns the, and trains those ponies. And someone said, well, can we not do something in the factory? And she said, yeah, I could train to do things, push trolleys, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she came over and she spent a day in the factory. She decided that she could train and do all this different stuff. So I'm in that video quite a bit. And I arrived, I wasn't there that weekend when they were doing the kind of prelim shots. I got there at 12:30. I was in a meeting at 2. Literally, in 1 hour, we took all those takes.
Really?
And we didn't even do, and we didn't even, we had to do one take twice. I was wearing the forklift. That's because I wasn't used, I hadn't been driving the forklift and kind of stalled it. But these ponies were so fun. So, and all the staff got into it. All the staff were, there was so much excitement. And it went from 0 to 1 million views in 36 hours.
It's amazing how quickly that stuff happens. It really is.
It is.
But it was good. I mean, that's why it worked. And you can't, you know, you can put out fun videos and you think they're going to work and then they don't. And then you put out one and you go, okay, this was pretty good. And then it just goes crazy. So you never really know what's going to hit, but that one definitely hit. And those horses were so well trained. I mean, that really did. That really was part of what made it happen. And the other thing I wanted to make a comment on about the factory there is that's the cleanest darn factory I've ever seen. I don't know if you guys cleaned up before the video, but it's the other thing that impressed me because I've been in a lot of factories. So,
surprising. Well, there were two surprising things about that video. Firstly, how much the staff enjoyed it and got into it. Like, they were all, like, interviewed. Now, those things were not really scripted or anything. And it was amazing how they all of a sudden turned into Hollywood actors. It was amazing. it was really amazing. And the second thing was how many people commented, oh, my God, you do have a factory. Oh, my God, you do make rubs and
arrows. You do make those like blankets somewhere.
Yeah, but if you go back and look at it again, you'll see that we have a system for actually, you know, carrying the product from station to station, which is a highly sophisticated Swedish system that we actually originally installed back in the 90s. Now, so I, you know, that's all, there's $2 million worth of equipment in that factory.
Wow.
Which today you would really struggle to justify doing, but it's all written off. Hmm. I mean, we might need to renew the chain on the headline once every 2 or 3 years. But otherwise, or the odd motor, or the odd little piece, but basically it's paid for. So that allows us to manufacture stuff in Europe, even though it's, because it's a top-end product. We need to be able to deliver, you know, we've got four colors. Let's say with an average, you've got two colors, you've got five sizes, and you've got five styles. So it's very difficult to keep all of that in stock. You'd never do it for China, that's for sure. So we manufacture all the Rambo turnouts in Ireland. I mean, we should start doing some of them for the European market in China eventually, but I just haven't been able to find that particular ballistic nylon in China at a better price. It's a global commodity, so it's the same price in China as it is in Scotland.
Well,
yeah, but we can control the quality better when we're buying it from Scotland.
Well, Tom, and we're glad too that you're supporting this. This episode is all about women in rodeo. And Lorinda, you said that Horseware is a sponsor of one of the top barrel racers in the country, right? Mary Walker.
Yes.
Mary Walker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Phenomenal barrel racer, phenomenal lady.
Yeah, and she's really into our stuff. And she's like, I haven't met her personally, but I believe she's really into her stuff. She's a great ambassador. And I think the barrel racing market is very important to us because,
yes,
I mean, you have, you know, I actually was at rodeo. I spent a lot of time in Florida in the winter. I have a house and a small farm down in Wellington. And I do some jumping and I'd pull horses. And we actually went to the rodeo on Saturday night. And they were doing barrel racing. It's pretty fast stuff. You can see where, you know, it's a very emotive thing because the barrel racer, they don't have hundreds of horses. They might have one or two. It's a very personable thing with their animals. So that's a demographic, you know, that we would find very, very common. In, not just in barrel racing, but you'd also find it in dressage, in show jumping, in England, in Germany, in Sweden. You'll find that kind of demographic all over the world, where, you know, our main customer is a female between, I suppose, 20 and 35. That would be our...
Right, which is...
I'd say 6% of our customers are in that.
Which is
zone,
a big part of...
Which is a big part of barrel racing, right? Yeah,
yeah, and barrel racing,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And where the horse has a real personal relationship with the rider. It's not just another horse. You know what I mean? It's a very
and you have
close
to,
relationship.
To have that kind of... You have to have that partnership to do what they do. I mean, they got 12 seconds out there, and you have to have that kind of partnership. We're going to talk to a mounted shooter here later in the show, who is, and they have that same kind of relationship with their horses because they're also doing it for speed. And anytime you get that speed involved, as you know, show jumping, right? You have to have a relationship with that horse, so that horse is going to put you on your head. And, you know, that's the kind of relationship that they have. So we get it. I definitely understand what you're saying.
So we're not really Western people, but you know, horses are horses. I mean,
and I wouldn't
blankets.
Say that
they all wear blankets.
I wouldn't say that they all wear blankets. We all need a great yep. product, and so I think you're for everyone. I think
well,
you know.
A horse is a horse is a horse, and I mean, a quarter
yes.
horse, star blankets fit quarter horses. Perfectly.
Yeah, that's
right.
Because people said when I came here, oh no, you have to have different leg straps. And now we, you know, leg straps are kind of a thing in the past. Oh, you have to have the cutback. He says, no. Oh, you have to have this huge contour at the back, because basically, if you have a huge contour at the back, what you're really doing is trying to, you know, it's asking your horse to go to bed, you know, in tight jeans.
Right.
I mean, who goes to bed with their tight jeans?
I never thought of it that way before.
I mean, it's going to fit, you know, it's going to be comfortable. So I think it's taken me 30 years, but I think at this stage, I think most people have now, you know, come around to the fact that the cut that we have today, this modern cut with a smaller neck, a little bit more relaxed at the back, no leg straps, with crosser singles, and the Velcro on the front just to give the blanket a bit of stability, works. And it doesn't fall off, and it's comfortable for the horse. It doesn't rub the shoulders, doesn't rub the withers. So I think it was a long time, you know, to get to that point. But I think the market has accepted what we would call a European design, but basically a more relaxed design than the old contour cut.
Well, I know our horses love it, and we have a lot of listeners out there right now that are listening going, I love my Rambo, I love my Rhino, you know? So we know they're out there, and we hope that we get more of them on board, too. You can find out more at horsewear.com. Thank you so much, Tom, for stopping
absolutely
by.
My pleasure, absolutely.
And
thank you for having me.
We appreciate you
thank
being
you.
On board here at the Horse Radio Network.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Tom.
You too.
Bye. A nice guy. You can tell he's lived this for the past 30 years. He was one of the founders of the company too. So,
and you can tell he's passionate about his products, and he puts a lot of time into knowing his products.
Yeah,
so.
You know, actually, we've had CEOs on before who you know had a vague idea of what their products were.
No, he knows his.
He knows his products. You're right.
Yes, he does.
And I love how he said a horse is a horse, and I have one of their blankets on Badger right now, and it is a phenomenal blanket. My favorite thing about it is, you know, with the way the weather is right now, we're still dropping down to 40 degrees, 30 degrees at night. And sometimes, you know, I get sidetracked and go, oh my gosh, the blanket's still on my horse and it's, you know, pushing 60 degrees and he's not sweating. Those blankets truly change, and it's like my spider jacket. It changes and breathes, and it's fantastic.
Well, I'm sorry. I know we ran over a little bit with that, guys, but I'm going to duck out of your show now. Have a good rest
great
of the
to
show.
Have you.
I know Jennifer's getting your next guest on the line here. So
okay.
We'll see you guys. Have fun.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Glenn.
Well, Lorinda, we're pushed on time for your segment, for the business segment. So let's jump in real quick and tell us a little bit. You were going to talk about the struggle is real.
Yes, the struggle is real. I think, you know, we talked about last month, you know, staying on track and what you need to be doing. And the biggest thing that people keep reaching out to me, emailing me or messaging me on Facebook, saying, you know, I'm trying to stay on track, but you know, there's all these things that keep popping up. You know, I set my goals for the day and what I need to get accomplished and what I want to do. And then my kids get sick, I run into a tire or, you know, pop my tire on my car or, you know, just all these, you know, you want to say excuses, but they're real life. And you just, you know, you'd love to be on a merry-go-round and everything going up and down and round perfectly. You know, but think about how boring that would be if it was just everything fell into place, everything would just go your way. You know, I think back in the beginning of when I started Gypsy Soul and all the struggles. I mean, it was crazy the stuff Amy and I went through. I mean, we've had factories tell us they're going to deliver a shipment of shoes on a certain date. And that date, we'd get an email and tell us, oh, the shoes aren't coming. We canceled your order. We're not going to ship or, you know, just insane things. You know, there's always going to be struggles, but that's what makes it so much sweeter. You know, everything takes time. And I always go back, you know, timing is everything and you have to just stay dedicated, keep focus on your goals. And some days you're not going to make any progress, you know? So, and I have tons of, you know, store owners or young, entrepreneurs that Lorinda, you know, we're struggling with this. We don't have enough money to buy product and we have the orders coming in. And I'm like, that's great. That's how it's supposed to be. And they're like, it is. I'm like, sure. You're going to struggle. If it's easy, anybody can do it. So you just, you know, you need to remember the struggle is real. This is part of the progress, you know, going through it. And when you get to the end, you're going to be able to pass that on to somebody else and pay it forward. But you have to enjoy each moment, even when it sucks. there will be, you know, lots of those times. But, you know, I'm thankful that I've had the struggle because even just, you know, working with you on the show, you know, it's taken me to a new level and a different avenue because of all the struggles I've been through. So I just, you know, I encourage everyone to keep reaching and I sympathize with you. So does Heather, that the Absolutely. Struggle is real. And any advice or help that you guys need, you know, we're here to help you.
Yeah. The struggle just makes success that much sweeter once you get there.
Yes, it does.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to jump on. We have our next guest ready. We have Kaylee, and I'm going to maybe butcher her last name. So, Kaylee, you'll have to correct me. Kaylee Salopek. She is a mounted shooter. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Tell us about your last name. Tell me how to say it.
So, it's Salopek.
Salopek. Okay. And Kaylee is a mounted shooter. She started mounted shooting in 2012 and she is already a champion. So congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks for having me on today, you guys. It's so nice to talk to you, Heather and Lorinda and Glenn.
Glenn jumped off. He was on for a few minutes and he it's just us girls.
Just us.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So just real quick, in case we have a few people that aren't familiar with mounted shooting, can you give us a rundown of what it is, and how it works?
Yeah. So cowboy mounted shooting, they actually say it's the fastest growing equine sport in the nation. So, it's a timed speed event, kind of similar to barrel racing. But while you're running a pattern or a course, you're also shooting 10 targets, which are balloons, using a single action revolver. And a lot of people ask, well, you're shooting a gun and you're using a bullet. Well, these are special bullets that have black powder in them and the ammo doesn't go beyond 15 feet. So it is spectator friendly. It's a really fun family oriented sport and you see all different levels. You see people out there walking. You see kids out there doing it. And then you'll see the competitive people that are out there running as hard as they can, like you're on a barrel horse. So it's a fun sport to watch. And if you go to the website, bmsaevents.com, you can see live videos of it too.
What was that website? One more time.
It's CMSA.
CM. Events. Okay.
Yep. CMSAevents.com.
Okay. Awesome. So your history of competing, have you done barrel racing? Like, what did you do before you got into mounted shooting? With horses?
Yeah. So I actually barrel raced my whole life. And then just for fun with a friend, we saw that the local shooting club was hosting a mounted shooting clinic to introduce your horse to gunfire. So we thought, oh, let's just go for fun. Well, after that first day, I was like, I'm done barrel racing. This is all I'm doing for the rest of my life.
You were addicted instantly.
I was, yes, because it's so fun. And you know what I found is that my horses love it. And so for me, seeing my horse, you know, go in and love their job means a lot, on top of the fact that it was something I was so passionate about. And a lot of people find that we see a lot of barrel racers that cross over and do both sports, or that just come straight into mounted shooting. That's what they want to do.
That's awesome. I have to say that I did not know anything about mounted shooting until sometime last year. I ran across it on social media. I think it was Instagram. And I was like, I want to do this so bad. So it is a goal of mine.
it looks great.
For you.
It looks like the funnest sport ever. So.
Well, you'll have to get out there and try it.
Well, I have some work to do. I haven't rode a horse in a long time. So I guess you could call me green again. I've got some work to do. But Lorena,
you don't ever lose that, though.
No, we'll see. We'll see. It has been a while. Hopefully it's like riding a bike.
Well,
Lorena, what
and the good thing is...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the good thing is, for people that want to get into it too, you can go on that website we said earlier, cmsaevents.com, and all the local clubs, they host clinics to get people started in this. So it's a really easy way to see if it's something you're going to like without going out and investing in guns and investing in the holster and everything like that, and experiment and see if you and your horse are going to work for it.
Oh, see, and that was one of my questions to you. I love that. That's good information.
I can contest to that, because, you know, I did a celebrity mounted shooting last year for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame fundraiser, and the community, the women that I knew that I know that do mounted shooting, they with open arms, you know, let me borrow their practice horses, their good horses, their guns, their holsters. You know, I try to pay them for shooting off a bazillion, you know, bullets, and they were just, Lorinda, we are so excited that you're doing this. You know, the community of women of the mounted shooters are just phenomenal people, and just embrace, you know, it embrace you, and you just want to do it. You know, they're so positive, and even, you know, I'm missing balloons, and, you know, they were so supportive. So I can say that, you know, if anybody's out there that wants to try this or have a dream of doing it, the community is fantastic to work with.
Yeah, that is so true. I'm so happy to hear that you tried it. Sounds like you had fun.
Yes. Yeah, no. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I would have won the buckle, but I missed by one balloon. That, what is it, 5 points or 5 seconds? I was so mad.
5 seconds? Oh, man.
Yeah, I had the fastest. Yes, I had the fastest time, and I kind of lost grip of my gun. And when I went to shoot, it like pointed down, and then I was like, no, oh. That didn't happen.
That's the thing and that's the thing with this sport too. It's like, there's so many little things that have to come together. I mean, you have
yes.
to have good gun handling skills. You have to have a broke, and I mean like broke horse.
Yes.
There's just so many elements. And then on the fact that you're popping balloons. So, I mean, let's just say that you're in an outdoor arena and it's windy and your balloon's wobbling around. I mean, you guys.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
There's quite a bit of difficulty.
There's always different elements.
Wow. So tell us about your horses. I know you posted a picture of a prospect that you found. Tell us about that.
So this is my latest prospect, and it's kind of a fun adventure because he's an off-the-track thoroughbred. So he's raced on the track and won races, and it's kind of going from one world to another. He's only four. He was a stud when I got him just a couple weeks ago, and since then we've castrated him. And the first day I went to ride him, I had him around gunfire. Now, I did not shoot off of him, but I like to see a horse's reaction. And this horse, I think, too, being on the racetrack and kind of almost seeing a lot of different stuff, he couldn't have cared less. I mean, he was just like, whatever, didn't even bat an eye at gunfire. And that's something I look for because I want my horses to enjoy their job. So a horse that is not going to light the gunfire and not, you know, not enjoy it, why make them do it? Because, you know, when it comes down to it, you're out there to have fun. Yeah, you want to be competitive, but you want a horse that likes their job.
Right. Amen to that. So, I see so many people making, you know, mate at a barrel race, you know, and you can just tell that horse does not like this or want to do this. And it's great that when people have that come together and realize, you know, I'm having fun and my horse that I'm on is having fun.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more because I cringe when I see a horse that doesn't want to go in the arena. I want my horse 100% of the time to walk in with his ears forward, happy about his job, but yet he can still go out there and run wide open and perform too. So I'm hoping that this horse I'm thinking he's going to have a lot of potential. I mean, he's a big boy. He's about 16'2". I mean, he's a thoroughbred. But
wow.
Yeah, he's a big one. But it'll be good. My husband, he's a mounted shooter too, and he's 6'7", so I'm like, okay, well, at least this
holy
horse
cow,
will
your husband's tall.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
Okay.
Okay. And how tall is your husband's horse? He must have a big horse.
His horse, he competes on a 16'2". Also. He's okay. A 16'2" hand quarter horse. He's big. Yeah. We have seven horses all together, and we shoot off all of them. We each have our main horse, but then we've got a bunch of other horses that we're always working with in training. So,
very nice.
That's great. Nice to enjoy that together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you were also really quick before we have to wrap. I wanted to mention that you, after you won your championship, you were on the cover of Western Horse and Gun magazine. What was that like? And I think you had a 6-page spread as well.
I did. It was the most amazing experience.
I can hear the excitement in your voice.
It was so fun. So it was kind of crazy because literally at the World Championships on my last stage that sealed the deal for winning worlds, I was walking out of the arena and the editor from the magazine came running down and on my horse hands me her business card and says, we'd like to put you on the cover of the magazine. So I'm like, oh my gosh, could I be on any more of a high, like getting that offer and winning? So it was really fun. My friend, that's a photographer and a mounted shooter, she flew down and we did like multiple days of a photo shoot in New Mexico here at the White Sands Desert and different arenas doing mounted shooting. And it was a really great experience. And it was fun that my husband got to be a part of it too. So it was, I mean, a great magazine to do anything with. I love Western Horse and Gun.
Wow. I can't even imagine. You'll have to post some photos so we can put them on our social media for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep. I'll send you guys.
Yeah. Back. Yeah. And so tell everybody where they can follow you and keep up with your adventures. I know you're on Instagram, and what was that again?
So my Instagram is KAYTWY. So, okay. And I do most of my mounted shooting updates on my Instagram on there. So, that's the best place to keep up with what's going on.
Okay, awesome. Well, we will post that for you as well. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I will definitely keep up with you and hopefully we'll join the mounted shooting world soon.
Thank
you so much, girl.
I gotta get a horse first.
Yes, we gotta get you holstered up, Heather.
I know.
She'll get you taken care of. We're halfway there.
there you go.
That might be kind of scary. She can already shoot the gun.
I don't know if I can shoot it at a moving target like a balloon, but I do hunt. So, thanks again, Kaylee.
Thank you guys so much.
Have a great day.
Okay,
I'll talk to you soon.
Right, bye-bye.
Well, I just love what she gets to do, and I love that you got to do that. Do you have photos of that?
Oh yeah, no, I have photos and video, and it is a lot of fun. It's an adrenaline rush, and it's very aggravating when you miss and knowing.
Oh, I can only imagine. Oh my goodness.
Yes. I mean, I've shot, you know, guns my whole life. So it was an easy transition until you actually get on that horse and the muscles, because you have to pull the trigger. It's not like you just have an automatic 9mm and just boom, boom. I'd have it. But to have to pull that trigger 10 times. So, and you have no extra bullets to miss. So once you miss, you're out. And and when you miss, you can't think about that you just missed, because then you're going to miss the next balloon. You have to miss and just stay focused and move right on.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, one day. So you've got to post pictures too. I'm all about seeing the pictures of all that. So I think they are the best action shots.
Yes, I will post it for you. Just for
awesome. You. Okay, let's play today's song. We have a perfect song. You know, I said we were going to honor the lives that we've lost in the horse world the past month. And we have a song from our next guest, which is Adrienne Brannon, also known as Buckaroo Girl. And that song is Missing You.
What have I become? Singer, writer, player of dreams, when it holds a heartache of a thousand years. Watching my life pass in pictures of you. Now my life's all about missing you. I'm missing you. How the hell can I get through? You're all I think about, all I dream about. You're what keeps me awake at night. Missing you. How the hell will I get through? Now my life's all about missing you. Made promises, and I believed in you, but then you left me outside in the cold. You were tender and so kind at night, but in the morning I cried when I realized you weren't by my side. At night, missing. let that picture fly. And the wind carries it far away from you and me. And the memories that it used to be. And I'm missing you. How the hell will I get through your all? I think about all I dream about you. What keeps me awake at night? Missing you.
Are we here, Heather? What about that song?
I'm not sure.
That's one of my favorites from Adrian. Probably it is.
So I just had a a big radio mess up. Oh, I had
Heather,
my mic off.
Heather, you have to do the unplug the mic thing.
Oh, you're a Mac girl.
Yeah,
aren't you?
We have this problem with Macs.
That too.
Yeah. From now on, you'll just have to do that in the in the song
during the radio song.
All right, we're back, everybody.
Just kidding.
Let's
just kidding.
Try that again. Okay, so you're listening to the Women of Rodeo episode on Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Horseware Ireland and the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. That was Adrienne Brannon, also known as Buckaroo Girl, singing Missing You. And speaking of Bronx and rodeo, we have the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo coming up. The Wild East knows a thing or two about thrills. The best of the best cowboys and cowgirls are coming up. Are coming to Kissimmee, Florida to experience the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo April 7th through 10th at Osceola Heritage Park. Witness a national championship rodeo in America's favorite vacation spot as these cowboys compete in 7 heart-pounding events for $1 million in cash and prizes. Come early and stay late for the RNCFR tailgate experience. With free admission, you can get a little shopping done, enjoy live music, bounce houses, and more. Tickets start at $15 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. And so is the parking. Visit rncfr.com for a full schedule and details so you can book your trip to experience Kissimmee. All right. So I can't wait for that rodeo. I will be there doing live interviews and taking some photos. So if you are there, be sure to come and track me down.
I need to fly down there and come see you.
Yeah, you do. You should come to the rodeo. But you've only got 2 weeks to plan that one.
Well, you never know where you might see me.
Yeah.
Well, I still have lots of miles from all my flying over the years. I just got an email yesterday that to upgrade my status to platinum for only $1,200. And I started thinking, I'm not thinking I really care anymore what level I am, because I don't think I'm going to fly that much, right? Hoping? I don't know. Not as much as I have the last 10 years.
No, but we do need to make some trips for sure. So like Road to the Horse next year, we need to sit down and plan out a calendar. No telling where Women in Rodeo might pop up.
Well, now that I have my living quarters trailer, you never know literally where I might show up. I'll just load the girls, the dogs, the pony, Abby, the naughty pretty pony, and Badger and Boot. And in 24 hours, there's no telling where I might be.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'll have to just jump in and come on to Florida. But see, the problem is I want to come to Texas. I want to come see you.
Oh, well, you just come get on a flight. Come on. It's spring break there. Well, we were spring break last week. It's crazy that spring, I understand why they do it, but spring break to me should be over Easter. And in Texas, we don't have any spring breaks over Easter. Fort Worth was the week before, and we were last week, and you're this week. But I guess if everybody was on spring break the same week, you couldn't go anywhere.
It would be a madhouse everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would not want that. Oh, goodness. So, what we did talk about, you had mentioned a girls' trip to Nashville. Now that's something we should plan. Yes. Maybe a, I mean, maybe a women in rodeo meetup in Nashville.
Please. Please, please, please. That would be fantastic. You would think of all the traveling I've done to wherever I've been in China. I can't even remember the names. I mean, Hong Kong or, you know, but then deep China and everywhere else I've been in the world, that I've been to Nashville. I mean, I've how did I miss not going to Nashville all these years? It's nuts, especially with all the music people I've worked with. And it's, you know, I still have not been there. And every year, Joel and I say for our anniversary, he's like, let's go to Nashville. And then something comes up, or I want to go to a barrel race, or the girls have something. You know how that works.
Oh, yes, for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have friends that live there, and it is one of my favorite places to visit. The nightlife, I love to dance. So you get me there, and there's one particular place I like to go. It's called Honky Tonk Central. And it's the one bar, as far as I'm concerned, in Nashville that has plenty of room to dance. When you go into a lot of the bars, you're kind of squished in there like sardines, and you're just standing there watching whoever's performing, and you can't really dance. And that's not my thing. I want to get out there and dance. So Honky Tonk Central is the place to go if you're a dancer. Well, and so do you dance? Are you a dancer?
Yes. Oh my yes. gosh. And yay. My husband loves, if I don't dance with him, he will dance with any of my friends, or he'll go find a sweet little old lady to dance with. I'll go.
Same thing. I look for a little older man because I know Darren, he's like, fine, whatever. And I'll dance with him all night because Darren's not a dancer.
Yeah, no, you and Joel, you know, you can dance with him all you want. He loves it. And that was when we were dating. That was my most favorite thing about him, is he is fun and loves to have a great time. So he'll dance to anything. He loves it all. So we'll go, when I come down there, we're going to plan a trip and we'll meet in Nashville, or we'll just do our girls' weekend and, you know, do something else.
Absolutely.
Find somebody else to dance with, for sure. And then when our legs get sore, I'll bring my Ice Five boots so we can put them on our legs so they won't hurt anymore.
So explain these boots.
Okay, yeah. So they're from Horsewear, what he talked about earlier.
Yes.
So it's like a splint boot. And what's really cool is it has this inner gel thing that you put in the freezer and freeze. And then you slide that inside the boot and you can ice your horse's legs. And then also you put a battery in it and it will vibrate the horse's legs for soreness, or any, you know, anything you have going on. And they make it for their legs, their knees, their hocks. And not last year at Denver, but the year before, they came out with the Ice Vive blanket for your horse. And you turn on all these little buttons all over this blanket to kind of give your horse a massage. So I think it's less than $2,000 for this blanket, but it's, I mean, I don't have the blanket. I just have the boots and I have the, you know, regular blanket, but their products are amazing. And the cool thing is those deals that you put in the freezer, when I have a bad headache or the girls bonk their head, they're fantastic for an ice pack.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, yes. It sounds like we need a girls' trip and we need to bring the blanket and those things for our legs so that we can recover the next day.
And I think we should take Adrienne with us.
I agree. Speaking of Adrienne,
let's ask her.
Yeah. Yeah, we have her on the show right now. She's on the line. Adrienne, also known as Buckaroo Girl, is an all-around cowgirl. She's a female bronc rider, an avid outdoors woman, a cowgirl poet, singer, and songwriter, just to name a few. Welcome to the show, Adrienne.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning. We're good. Listen to your sweet little voice. I'm so excited.
And it's early. It's early where she's at.
Well, she's been driving all night.
I have. I actually I got a little nap in this morning. I've got some coffee and I'm like the happiest person in the world. I drove from northern Utah to Southern California all in one night. Woo-hoo.
Wow. You are amazing.
I used to be able to do that when I was under 30, I used to be able to do that.
You know what? I think I terrify my family, quite frankly. It's this always, well, you know, you could stop in Vegas. And I'm pretty terrible.
Well, once you get to Vegas, it's not that much further. I mean, I can see,
exactly.
You know, You're almost there.
It's kind of like a challenge. It's like, okay, so I've made it here. I got to go the rest of the way. I 2 more cups of coffee. I can do this.
Are you traveling alone, Adrian? Are you on your own?
I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, ma'am. I traveled. So I started performing when I was 14. And because I wasn't old enough to drive or do anything, my mom or dad would take me. And then when I hit basically 17, 18, it was, you're kind of on your own, and this is a good thing. And then my sister traveled with me for a little while, and that was super, super fun. I really enjoyed that. But yep, it's me solo now.
Well, I guess that prepared you for, you know, what was to come.
Absolutely. It was very good preparation time.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that do not know Adrian, she has an amazing social media following and she's quite the inspirational woman. And I knew from the moment I started Women in Rodeo that you had to be a guest on my show. It took me a little while to get you on here and to get around to it, but you were on my must-have list. And so I am so excited.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. No, I am so excited to be here. I am always so excited when there is something that is empowering women and something within the Western industry that is something so positive, like what you're doing with Women in Rodeo. And I absolutely love it. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, well, thank you. One of the reasons I think you resonate with so many women and so many different ages too. I mean, you've got tweens and millennials and older women. I won't say how old I am. and you just
really,
go ahead.
I said, you're not that old.
Oh, well, I'm older than a lot of people think.
Yeah, I would bet money that you are not that old. And it doesn't matter if you're young at heart and you don't look a day over 25, you're doing good.
Well, I am 39 yes. years old, but I quit having birthdays at 26. So there.
Exactly. You know what? If you're a girl, you're allowed to do that.
That's right.
Make up your own rules.
Okay. I had a midlife crisis at 24, so it's okay. I get it.
That's right. So I love that you keep it real, that you, you share your struggles and all of the heartache you've went through. You know, you've had some to battle and overcome some adversity along the way. And you share that recently quite openly. And then you show everyone how to overcome that and live your life that is so full of love and joy. And gosh, you make me smile every day. And you're my go-to page. You're my go-to page when I'm like, okay, I need to smile or I need a feel-good story or feel-good something. And people can get that from you. So that's...
Oh my goodness, you're going to make me cry.
Don't cry because I'll cry. And then it's Lorinda's show.
No. No crying today, girl.
No, okay. But there's no crying in baseball.
That's right.
So I wanted to give you the floor for a minute to kind of just tell your story. But first I think we should start with the Instagram post that you made here recently, that where you kind of, as far as I have noticed, shared a little bit more and a little more candidly about your story. And would you want to read that post or do you want me to read that post?
You know what? Quite frankly, I think I'll let you read it.
Okay.
I'm good about talking about it, but I might get all choked up.
Okay, so we'll see. Lorinda, follow along with me in case you need to jump in.
Okay. Let me pay attention here.
Okay. So here's her post that she posted. And first of all, she posted a beautiful picture of her without makeup because she is beautiful, darling, with or without. And here's the post. So she said, to the gentleman who implied I was teaching the school children yesterday that they had to wear lots of makeup like I do to be pretty. This letter is not for you. It is for the kids because you have a great point, a fantastic point, actually. I agree. My pink lipstick is not there because I feel that my true lip color is inadequate. I began wearing it after an abusive boyfriend left a scar on my lip. I am self-conscious about it. Third and fourth graders do not need to know this or see the scar. I feel my eyebrows because my hair has only now looked full without makeup after a phone book to the side of my head and then a nightstand left a scar through the hair. Call me weird. I thought it looked funny. I wear concealer under my eyes because I sleep about an hour and a half to 2 hours at night because of PTSD and being terrified of the night and dark. Sir, I do not wear makeup because I believe I am not beautiful. I wear makeup because I am strong enough to move on from my past and feel like a woman again, to feel beautiful and confident whether I am wearing makeup or not. This is me without makeup. Kids, you are beautiful, handsome, and perfect just the way you are. I just don't think you're old enough to hear the real reason behind my makeup a lot of the time yet. You've still got a lot of growing up to do. So that post, oh my gosh, that post was amazing. And I cried reading that post. And then I saw the outpouring of support and love from all of the people that follow you. And so you're amazing. So tell us about, well, you really are. You really are. You should own that. You've overcome a lot.
You are so sweet. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you are going to make me cry. I've become a very emotional person in the past couple of years.
Well, and you haven't slept either, so that's helping.
Oh my gosh, you're so sad. This is like a girl's morning. I love it. I feel
it's women
should have
lattes
or something.
It is. This is Heather, perfect.
That post was shared over 577 times.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's pretty powerful. Oh, wow. That's, yeah.
I was amazed at the outpouring, quite frankly. Like, I really wasn't expecting that. For me, it was just really, the past couple of years have been very, you know, it's been almost 10 years since kind of the first incident for me, which was assault by a family friend or an issue with a family friend when I was 14. And those issues kind of built over time to when I was 18 and 19 and was in an abusive relationship. And since then, kind of life has been about, okay, get up every morning and try and go do your shows and make it work, you know? But then I started realizing I didn't want to just go through life and do it. I wanted to do it with joy and I wanted to enjoy it. And I kept wondering, there's a reason that things happen, and I don't know what the reason is, but I feel like there is a purpose for it. And that's going to sound silly, but I think that the purpose was because from what I had seen, there wasn't any women who were an advocate for domestic violence or assault in the Western community because, you know, we have a perfect idea of what cowboys should be. And I love it. I love the iconic ideal of the great American cowboy, but at the end of the day, we are still all human and there are issues within every culture. And it's kind of something that isn't really talked about in the cowboy world. And so over the past couple of years, it's kind of become something that I've gone, okay, I really feel like we need to be talking about this. And I kind of, that post was kind of a spur of the moment thing. Quite frankly, I got all emotional about it because this gentleman, I think he meant very well, but you know, sometimes social media is so difficult. And both of you gals know that because you can never really tell, you know, what people's, what their voice is like or how they mean it. You know, it's hard like that, but it was kind of easy to see what he was saying. And I felt so guilty about it because I was going, no, I don't want to teach the kids that. So it was just kind of a very honest, like, well, here's the reason. It may sound kind of silly or weird to you, but there is a reason behind all the makeup.
Well, you know, I think.
And I do. Women, I wear a lot of makeup.
Well, and I love it. Makeup's awesome.
Lorinda.
Aw, thank you.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm having feedback on my end.
Now, Lorinda, you need to unplug your mic and plug it back in. She has the same problem you had, Heather.
Okay.
How's that?
Much better. Just
give it a second.
Okay. You don't sound like Star Wars. You're good.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Yes. That, you know, the best thing about your post, you guys are real funny. The best thing about that post is I think people knew you spoke. You knew it was, you wrote that right then. You took that picture right then. It wasn't planned out. It wasn't, and that's what's so real about you. You know, you have the business side of what you're doing with your blogs and your brand and your music, but on your social media, the majority of your posts are real.
people know that they're seeing the real you. And that post was so real. And I mean, I have to admit, I kept seeing it show up in my newsfeed. And I'm like, why is everybody sharing this picture of her with no makeup on? And I was in Tractor Supply, picking up my meeting this guy to pick up my daughter's goat. And I was jacking around on my phone, and I kept seeing it in my newsfeed because I'm on my phone way too much. So I stood in the middle of Farm Supply with tears rolling down my face. And I'm just like,
oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was it takes your breath away. And don't ever, no matter what anybody says, and I'm sure you won't, don't ever take that away from you, because that's what makes you you and makes you such a powerful woman.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. Like that really means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. And you know, the amazing thing is that, you know, I pretty much came out about kind of a history of abuse and stuff last year in a Western Horseman article, but in a very in kind of a smaller way, not as an out there way. But since then, and the more I've spoken about it, the more women and men have come forward and have said that they have related in some way or another to it. And I feel like there's so many things out there on social media that are these perfect women that we have to try and attain to be, you know, the models, the fashion people, the gals with plastic surgery and things like that are absolutely stunning in their own way, but they're kind of not a realistic representation of what we are as women when we wake up in the morning and are having our first cup of coffee.
Amen to that.
And yeah, I mean, nobody looks that good in the morning. I mean, like, yeah, that's not real. And I feel like that was kind of, I think people, and especially young girls, need to see that. They need to have some reality in their life, because technology and the media is a part of our everyday lives in such a huge way. We need to make sure that there's positive things out there as well, you know.
Well, you know, I am guilty of it. And I can only imagine what my 13-year-old daughter, or any of the teenage girls out there, go through in their mind when they look at social media. Because I look at pages, blog pages, fashion models and stuff, and I see, and I'm like, I have to remind myself, she probably didn't just take one photo. You know, Lorinda sent me an article yesterday, and the woman was saying she posts like, or she takes like 100 photos before she gets the one she loves. And that's me.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So to know that it's not just me is great. But these girls, these young girls, don't realize that. And so when they take a few selfies.
Yeah, they have unrealistic.
Yes. Yeah. And so social media is really difficult. And so for you to do what you did and to be so real, gosh, we need more people like you out there on social media. We really do.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so sweet. You just, I'm so emotional. You're
on
the gate. This is
So I have a question for, you know, you've overcome adversity and you've come out on the other side and spun it in a very positive way. What suggestions or what would you say to someone that's going through a really difficult time right now or something similar to what you're going through? What would you say to them?
I would tell them exactly what I wish somebody had told me, because for the longest time, I just kind of floundered because you kind of can't believe it's happening to you. I would quite frankly say that it's happening. Acknowledge that it has happened. Acknowledge that you have had this thing happen, because if you try and heal and live your life and have joy without acknowledging that something bad has happened to you, it's never going to be complete. To heal, you have to acknowledge that it has happened. And then your priority, it's going to sound kind of silly, and as cowboys, I know our first priority should always be either our horses or our cows or our family. But really the mentality that you have to have after that is that you are the person that matters and you have to take care of you. And I know as mothers, as daughters, as wives, as ranch women, as cowgirls, our first thing is to pretty much want to do everything for everybody else. And, oh, no, I'm okay. You know, I'll go last. I think it's really important to remember
in a humble way that you matter as well, and your happiness matters, and your health matters, and taking care of yourself matters, and your joy matters. I think it's kind of reminding everybody that they are important, and that it isn't insignificant what has happened to them. I wish somebody had just, quite frankly, told me it's okay to want to change what's happened, and something did happen. You know, just that acknowledgement is so huge in kind of beginning the healing process, I really think.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And telling someone, finding someone you can rely on, absolutely. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. That support group is huge. My family is absolutely amazing. And having a support group of people is really important.
Yeah. I want to make sure that, you know, I am so sorry that happened to you.
It has turned out to be such a blessing in so many ways, though.
And isn't that so weird how that works?
It's so odd. It totally is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I never thought that, but it really has. It has become an amazing connection with so many people in such a positive way that it's hard to not see it as a blessing in a lot of ways. You know,
right.
And that sounds weird, but it is.
No, I get it. I get it. Real quick, I wanted to jump into some of your music stuff, and you're on tour right now. Some of your shows I noticed are private shows, but do you have some shows that people can show up to, and you want to tell us about that?
I do. Yes, ma'am. I've got some really fun ones coming up. We've got the Jakey's Rodeo, which is the benefit coming up in Elko, Nevada, in June. It's really funny, actually. I do have a lot of private ones this year. But this summer, we've also got some really fun ones, like in South Dakota, Santa Clarita, California, Utah, stuff like that. It's all up on the website at buckergirl.com, along with all the info for it and everything. I'll be on the road a lot this summer.
Oh, you are. You're going to be a busy girl.
Yes, ma'am. I got my coffee. I'm ready to handle it.
Because she can drive straight through anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't need a plane.
I'm waiting for that to, like, wear off.
It will. I'm sorry to tell you, but it will.
Yeah. So I'm going to take advantage of it now while I can.
Oh, well.
I love it.
I love it. And you do also, real quick before we have to wrap, I want to say that you do, I call it cowgirl poetry. And I don't know if I'm missaying or misquoting that for you, but that's kind of like the term I liked to use, I think, because I love it.
Uh-huh.
And you post those everywhere too. And those are some of the inspirational posts that I love. So tell us how you started that real quick.
So they're called Dear Cowgirls. And quite frankly, gals, it was the same exact thing as the post. It was an accident.
Right.
I wrote a letter to this little cowgirl that, it was an open letter kind of on the blog, and basically said kind of all the things that I wish somebody had told me at her age, as kind of a reminder that it's okay to be, you know, a little girl, and it's okay to love, you know, being outside with your horses more than fashion and makeup, and it's okay to be different, and that you have permission to be that person. And it was really crazy. It was just kind of the response to that has been amazing. And so kind of every one of those Dear Cowgirl posts, or those kind of, I guess, poetry posts, they're kind of a lyrical way for me to just, anything that as a woman you've ever felt, to kind of put it out there and see how other women go, oh my God, I'm not the only one.
Yes.
No, you're not the only one out there.
Absolutely. I think it resonates with a lot of people. And they're some of my favorite posts that I see of yours. So thank you for doing that. And I'm always happy to share those. I could spend all day with you, Adrian. So we'll definitely have to have you on the show again. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You've been driving all night. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. And gosh, I can't wait to sit down with you guys in person and have another cup of coffee soon.
Yes, let's do it.
She needs to go to the Nashville girls trip. You ready?
Yes.
You're not going to drive. You're going to fly, okay?
Okay, I can handle that. I can do that. Give me coffee. I can do anything. It's all
okay.
I love it. Thank you so much, ladies.
Yes, ma'am. You drive safe.
Have a fantastic week.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
She is such a joy. I love her.
Yes, she is. She's one in a million.
Well, Jen has our next guest ready. We have Alex Hyland. She's the 2016 Miss Rodeo America intern. And eventually joining us, we'll have Dana Jenkins. She's the Miss Rodeo America office manager. Alex, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, ma'am. Is Dana on with us, or are we still tracking her down?
I'm not sure. I'm currently by myself, so.
Okay. Okay. Not a problem. So, my first question to you is, when I received the email that we were doing this segment and you would be on, I didn't know there was an internship program.
I've never heard of that ever.
Yeah. And I think that's quite exciting. So tell us how that all came into fruition.
It's actually really exciting. And you're right. A lot of people do not know that we have that. Last year, Rihanna Ruffel, who's a past Miss Rodeo Colorado, she was able to have the opportunity after she competed for the title of Miss Rodeo America. She did really well at the pageant, and she didn't want her love of rodeo queening to end. And so she did become an intern with the Miss Rodeo America organization. And she's done a lot of great things with our social media platforms, our marketing. She's really great with all of that. She's very blessed and very skilled, and we've been lucky to have her. She did that for about a year, and then she was actually just hired as our new office assistant as a paid position, which is great, and I'm really excited for her. And then she actually kind of talked to me a little bit about it. We were both local queens, and we've judged some pageants together, and she kind of got me hooked on the idea. And so after doing that and getting my views in mind, I decided that I should try to get an internship with them. And all it really took was just applying, and I was able to get it. And I currently attend school down at CSU Pueblo, Colorado State University Pueblo. It's in the southern part of the state, so I'm just 45 minutes away from the Miss Rodeo America office, which is in Colorado Springs. So
nice.
It works pretty well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, real quick, Dana has joined us. Good morning, Dana.
Maybe. Oh,
maybe not.
Right.
There you are. Yay.
Good morning.
I have to real quick, as a side note, you'll be so proud of me, Dana. I am an official member.
I saw and I screamed and told Rihanna, this is so exciting. So thank you.
Yay. Well, I'm glad to have both of you on. We were just talking about how the internship program came to be, and she was filling us in on that. And, you know, I talked to Rihanna quite a bit last year, and I guess it never clicked that she was an intern. That never clicked with me.
Yeah, I think these girls are being very smart about thinking beyond their education, and it's great to have that degree, but a lot of employees are looking for experience and what have you done. And what I commend these girls on is MRA is on a tight budget and a lot of internships don't pay and you get what you give. And I can tell you these girls have given 110% with no paycheck. Granted, they're getting school credit, but I'm just so proud of that. You know, that they're just stepping up to the plate regardless of a monetary value.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. I know, you know, I'm just starting to talk with Alex, but Rihanna, I know she gave 110%. So that's your program is great. And the women that come out of that program, that's what you get. So, you know,
absolutely. No. Well, and praise to our executive board for putting it together, you know, and allowing us to give back to young women before they go into their careers. And it's wonderful. I really appreciate it. For sure.
Yes. Alex, real quick, you may have already said a little bit, but what actually sparked your interest in this internship? What got you turned on to it?
Well, I've always been really inspired by rodeo queens, and they've always been my heroes as well as my role models. They've always really exemplified the importance to love what you do, and that's a great passion to have for horses and also to be yourself. And that's something that I've always wanted to hang on to. I've held other rodeo queen titles in the past, and I really do believe in the role that a rodeo queen plays inside and outside of the arena. And I wanted to help do that behind the crown, be that back, like that back center, and help them do their job from behind the scenes. And I think that's something really important to do.
I agree. And I see that you want to work in the agricultural or Western fashion industries, which happen to be two things that I absolutely love. What is your educational background right now?
Well, currently I'm a junior attending Colorado State University Pueblo, where I'm majoring in mass communications with an emphasis in integrated communications. So basically, I want to go into marketing or event coordinating or just really anything where I could do public relations.
Okay, very
she
nice.
She wants to have parties. She's going to party all the time. Dress up and party and tell everybody how to do it.
That's right.
I guess so.
Just kidding.
So what are some of the requirements for being an intern? What did you have to do?
I might have Dana help me a little bit on this.
Okay, Dana.
How I understand it. Yeah. Absolutely. So it is an internship that we want individuals, Alex had to turn in her resume, and then she also had to come in for an interview. And she wasn't guaranteed a spot, you know, with the Mr. New America organization. The one stipulation that we have is if girls are still of the age to compete in a pageant, they are not allowed to compete within their internship year. So, or they have to leave a 4-month period. And that's just because we want there to be no stipulation that because Alex is an intern or because Rihanna is an intern, they're guaranteed a crown. That's not it at all. What Alex says is beyond being your quote-unquote coffee intern. She really has to maintain professionalism at the Miss Rodeo America level. We are at the national headquarters, so we expect her to act as if she's at the national headquarters. And she's done that. And she exemplified that through her resume as well as her interview. And so then what we did is we had her sign a contract. We treat it just like a job and that process. So Alex has done a great job, and anyone who is interested in interning, it does require a resume as well as what is required of your school. We need to know that in advance because we do want you to get your school credit, and it's important to us.
Well, and you bring up a good point. How do they apply? Is it on the website?
They're actually just turning in their resume to info@MissRodeoAmerica.com.
Okay.
Perfect for us. We and then we just sift through resumes and we decide based off of their time that they have when we really need an intern. So right now we have Alex. We'll probably be looking at next year at this time. But I would go ahead and apply. It never hurts.
Okay.
And yep, that's the best way.
Okay. And then once they are an intern, what are some of the exciting things they'll get to experience during their time?
Absolutely. So what we do like for interns is that they come to the office. There's an office setting there, and I'm going to have Alex jump in as well to share her experience. But we really expect our interns to learn about MRA and what the organization stands for. So we want you to know the mission and how to execute that mission. Right now, it's tailored to Alex. Because she is a mass communications major, we realize she wants to get into the marketing field and how to promote Miss Rodeo America. And currently, Catherine Merck, our 2016 Miss Rodeo America. And she's done a great job of learning all different avenues of how we market her, from our blog to our social media outlets. As well as some internet work. She had gone into our website and learned how to tailor it. And she's very responsible for her membership. So as you can see, there is a lot she is learning at Miss Rodeo America. And the door is open. You know, whatever she wants to experience, she can come to me and say, I would like to try this. And if I say it's okay, you know, she does it with good supervision from Rihanna and myself. But Alex, do you want to add to that? And
yeah, what is your experience been
so far?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Well, I've had two really awesome role models who have really helped me and helped guide me, and I'm very thankful for that. But it's also really exciting. Our office, Miss Rodeo America's headquarters, is located in the PRCA headquarters, which walking through those doors every day as a rodeo enthusiast is, it's a really neat feeling. And it's something that I don't think everyone gets to experience. So that's something that I've definitely really enjoyed. And I've also been invited to attend the Miss Rodeo America mid-year meeting this year, which will happen the last weekend of April in Las Vegas. And having the opportunity to go meet the Miss Rodeo America board, as well as some of the ambassadors and some of the other members as they plan the Miss Rodeo America pageant, that's going to be a really neat experience that I look forward to just, I've always gone to the pageant, so to look and see how they plan it from behind the scenes and from that behind the scenes position, I'm really excited to do that. And just being behind the scenes in general, I've always looked up to Miss Rodeo America, and I feel a lot of other girls do too. And just being able to see, to be able to talk to Catherine on the phone and to be able to just talk personally to her, that's a really neat insight for any queen.
I imagine that's very exciting. You know, you just talking about walking through those doors, that made me excited. I'm like, oh, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine how exciting that is.
Well, yeah, come on down, Heather. Visit our offices.
Oh, I would love to. I really would.
I think, you know, it's so great that Miss Rodeo America is doing that. I'm an old washed up rodeo queen, has been from way back when. And, you know, as you're doing queen contests, you know, you aspire to be your state queen or Miss Rodeo America someday. But you have to also, like you said, look beyond that. And myself owning, you know, three or four different companies over the last 20 years, it's so important, like you said earlier in the conversation, I would get so many resumes across my desk and, you know, women or men that have had great resumes of their school and what they had done, but nobody had done internships or really had jobs. And I really, really think it is so important, like you said, you need, you know, as you're in college, you have got to make those contacts and do those internships. What have you been doing to get you where you need to go? Because that degree is not going to guarantee you anything. And I, you know, there's that miscommunication somewhere along the way that so many students just think, I'm going to get through school and have A's the whole time and not do an internship and not have a job. And when those students get to my office to apply for a job, I don't have time to teach them how to work. I need them to know how to be in a business environment and how to show up on time and how to dress properly and so many things across the board that an internship is going to give you. And people will, in an internship, people will take a vested interest in you and take you under their wing and help you, you know, grow into this amazing person in the workforce. So I just commend the Miss Rodeo Association and your offices for putting this program in place for these women, because you learn so much being a rodeo queen. And, so, you know, a lot of people sometimes don't value what we did as queens or what queens are doing and what it really teaches you in speaking and dressing grade. There's so many things across the board. So it's fantastic that you guys are offering this internship program.
Absolutely, Heather. You hit it dead on. You know, one
and that was Lorinda.
It was. I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Okay.
You hit it with, you know, dead on. And what impressed us about Alex is not knowing that she was a rodeo queen. The girl studied about our office moving, and that's what rodeo queens do, is they know to study before they walk into that room. And I just think that interns these days, if you are going to apply for an internship, study about the program if you really want to work for that company. I think that's so important. One thing rodeo queening does teach you.
I would love when I would do an interview and I'd ask them just general questions about my company, and they didn't even go on my website or know anything. So I'm like, oh my Lord, and you want a job here?
So, yes. Well, thank you again, Alex and Dana. I really appreciate you guys coming on, and an excellent program. We urge any girls that want to further their education and be part of that program to reach out to you guys and send in their resume.
Fantastic. Thanks, ladies.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was another great show. Lorinda, we made it through.
This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And you say Yes, yes. It's been a great day.
Yes, it has. So be sure to stay connected. You can find Women in Rodeo at womeninrodeo.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow all Horse Radio Network shows at horseradionetwork.com. By the way, Glenn and Jamie will be back tomorrow. Our app is the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of the show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android. It's free and easy to download.
Find the links to today's guests in the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning and on Twitter at Horse Radio. Thanks again to our sponsors, Ram National Circuit Finals, or Finals Rodeo, and Horseware Products.